It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Getting ready for a Pels game in L.A. this evening. Taking on the Clippers, 9 p.m. pregame coverage, 9:30 tip-off over on 870 a.m. and 105.3 FM. To help us break that down and everything Pelicans, joining us now, Locked On Pelicans podcast host Jake Madison. Jake, how you been doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on to talk some hoops here.
Just curious, how is it for you, you know, day in and day out, this is the team you're, you know, focused on and doing reports and you know, an analysis on, and just how tough has this year been for you? It's got to be a grind.
Yeah, it's definitely a grind. There's no getting around something like that in this kind of scenario, but you know, you always look for the good in things. I'm a pretty optimistic person by nature. So it's basketball. It's a game. It's not going to be the end of the world or life with anything. So I love all of this no matter what. So I kind of keep that in mind, and it makes things a little bit easier.
One of the things that upset me the other day was on April Fool's, of course, and hearing Stephen A. Smith calling Zion Williamson a bust. And he wasn't necessarily knocking the talent, but the availability of Zion, which has obviously been a problem. But I think to label the guy a bust was just so way out of line.
So, you know, I think bust is the wrong word, but I think he's got somewhat of a point, truthfully. Like, I don't necessarily disagree with him, because when you think of bust, right, in terms of draft bust and things like that in any sports, it's someone who doesn't live up to the expectations. And when you're the number one overall pick, when you are the most hyped prospect since Anthony Davis, who's the most hyped prospect since LeBron James, can we say that, you know, given the talent he has and everything around him, that he's lived up to that expectation, right? This is someone who has not played in the postseason just yet. And a lot of that has to do with kind of his own fault when it comes to things. So while maybe bust is a little bit of a stretch of a word right now, I think there's some degree of it, right? Like, even Zion Williamson, I think, would admit that he hasn't lived up to the expectations and everything that comes with being the number one overall pick. And that's kind of what we're getting at here with this sort of discussion around it. So, you know, if Zion wants to change that narrative, there's certainly still time to do that. I think we've seen some good changes from him this past offseason and then during this season. And certainly no one's kind of knocking the talent he has, but he's yet to really put together a full, complete season where he leads the team to the postseason. This year is not going to be one of those years he's shut down for the remainder of the season, which truthfully is probably the smart decision for the Pelicans to do given the tanking and all of that. But overall, like, it still feels like this era is a bit of a disappointment, I'd say.
Well, for me, it was just definitely when you look at the ability and what we've seen when Zion is available, it's been, you know, pretty stellar production. I get the availability part of it, but to me, I guess I wasn't labeling that a bust so much of just like maybe a disappointment, but it just seems to me when Zion has been able to perform, he's been at a high level. And yeah, I get your point too. The expectations and what he was supposed to deliver has been a letdown for everyone across the board.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, right? Maybe bust is too strong of a word. I kind of understand that argument, and I completely get it, truthfully. You know, and it's just, as you said, a disappointment, which is probably not kind of where we should be at this point with his career. But if you're the number one overall pick and we're saying it's been a disappointment, that does kind of say bust. I think we're getting into a semantics argument in this sort of thing, right? But the overall sentiment is it hasn't been that good. And when you're the number one overall pick in your year five, year six, whatever year he's in right now, you've got to be good and leading the team to the postseason, and that just hasn't happened.
You know, Jake, I think it's interesting the matchup tonight against the Clippers because Vegas has this line set at 17.5 points. Steve and I talked a little bit about it earlier. The Pelicans just seem to have the Clippers number, and I know that you've shut down Zion and CJ for the rest of the season, so in their eyes, it's, you know, you're taking a team that's got everything to play for. They're in the West play-in tournament race right now, but they're just a half game out of that sixth seed, and you'd be in the playoff picture. So they obviously have to win this game. The Pelicans, you know, at this point, they've been eliminated for over a month now. And so they're looking at a team that's at the bottom of the league versus a team that still has everything to play for the rest of the season. But what's your thoughts on this matchup tonight against the Clippers? The Pelicans haven't won 12 of their last 15 against L.A.
Yeah, look, you know, they seem to have that team's number for whatever reasons, and maybe it's the style of play for the Clippers. They have certain, I think, advantageous matchups when it comes down to it as well. I think this one's just going to be tough, right? When you look at this one, I think you kind of throw that previous record out because who's playing, who's starting for the New Orleans Pelicans? And at this point, it's really less about the individual matchups and how you could win this game or anything like that. And frankly, most people probably want the Pelicans to lose at this point. And you're looking more at like the individual performances of guys like Antonio Reeves, maybe a Keon Brooks Jr., those type of players that are young guys that are going to get some significant minutes in this one. And Eve Misi is a good example of that too, going against Zubac, who I think is a very underrated center. You know, that's what I'm kind of like really watching for in this game and really intrigued about in this game, and could see, you know, that kind of being a very good thing for the Pelicans to kind of build off of going into next year with it all. And that's kind of the goal, I think, at this point.
Yeah, you mentioned Antonio Reeves. He seems to be coming along. Just what have you noticed from his game as he's been developing and getting more action?
Yeah, look, dude can score, can't he? Like, that's, I think, one of the most impressive things. You know, his shot profile is very impressive when you watch him play. He goes out there and he scores from three, or he's getting into the paint and scoring that way. And to me, that's arguably the most important thing that he's able to do right now, because that fits alongside Zion Williamson. And conceivably, they're still going to be building around Zion Williamson next year. So that's what you really want to see from him. And I think that's what gets me so excited about potentially the future, that you're discovering another piece that really works, and a guy that doesn't need the ball in his hands, moves really well without the ball, navigates screens on offense really well to find ways to get open. All of that's pretty exciting and encouraging from him, I think. And so watching him play, look at how he's trying to score. If he can start to finish around the rim a little bit better than he does a good job of getting into the paint, doesn't necessarily finish at the rim as well as you'd like, but if he can start doing that sort of thing, this is a guy that I think can be a long-term piece for the New Orleans Pelicans and really give them a chance to get back into the playoffs next season.
You know, Jake, talking about some other young pieces that we're looking forward to watching, Karlo Mackovich has kind of come on pretty strong here late, basically in the last 2 months, with more opportunity, obviously, with some injuries and kind of getting Justin to the lineup, especially in March, averaging 9.5 points per game over the last month. And just what you've seen from the young center that's kind of been, I guess, played power forward at times. He's been in those big lineups with Eve Misi as well. Your thoughts on what you've seen so far from him?
Yeah, he's looked really good, in my opinion, I think. This is someone who has gone out and played exceptionally well for the team, and he looks like an NBA player, and that arguably might be the most important thing for this franchise. He just looks like a dude who should be out there on an NBA court, and that's kind of what this team needs right now, and you've got to get that kind of cheap production on the contract that he's on. He's played really well for this team. He also looks like a guy that is going to fit around Zion Williamson in the future and should play really well next to him. That's what you're looking for in a player like that. I've liked what they've discovered when it comes to Carlo Maksimovic this season, and I think that's a guy that's going to be on this team for the foreseeable future and gives them some really good, cheap big man depth. And for a team that still has some salary cap trouble like the Pelicans do, that's a really valuable thing, I think, right now.
It's really funny, Jake, because I remember talking to you all over the summer about the center position, how everyone was terrified of, you know, the big man rotation that the Pelicans were going to have. And that's one of the bright spots, I think, obviously with Emisi, Carlo Maksimovic. And now you have also that veteran depth piece with Kelly Olynyk, who's played very, very well with the Pelicans so far, ever since being traded from Toronto. But your thoughts on the center rotation that the Pelicans seem to have established?
Yeah, you know, I think it can work, right? You know, I don't think it's elite. I think there could be some issues and you could get exposed. And if you get into a playoff series, I wonder if that's going to be enough, particularly also in the Southwest Division, where this is, you know, a group of teams that have some really good centers. Zach Edey is a massively big person, right? And I think that's something that's worth keeping in mind as well when it comes down to it, that you've got to kind of compete against these other teams as well. But he has looked good, I think, with Kelly Olynyk, with Emisi, who looks like he will be the starter going forward, and even Carlo being some cheap depth there, you know, you can at least get by with center by committee, maybe big man by committee, even if none of those guys are elite. And that might just be enough for this Pelicans team, given some of the other positions and talent that they have. So I think we've been just happy with what we've seen from that group overall. And I think, you know, means they can maybe focus their efforts elsewhere in free agency or the draft with this offseason, not needing to fully worry about the center position like we've been kind of concerned about it for a year or so.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, one of the things with these final stretch of games here, looking forward to seeing more of the young talent in action. And one of those guys, Keon Brooks Jr., what can you tell us about him? I know he was undrafted, spent time at Kentucky and Washington in college, then was in the, you know, Birmingham squadron of this the G League for a while for the Pels, and now is getting his chance with, you know, either injuries or deciding to sit players. But what do you know about Keon Brooks Jr. and what he's bringing to this squad?
Yeah, look, he gives you some nice wing depth, I think, and that's always a valuable thing to have in the NBA. That's something that, like, almost every single team absolutely needs in any capacity here, and he's out there playing with really good size at 6'7", can score at multiple levels. That's a really good thing to see from him as well. So that's a guy that I think is going to maybe get converted or signed to a contract this offseason to be on the team next year, because you're going to need guys like that. But I think we've all been pretty impressed with him so far and are curious to see how he's going to do over these final games. I think it's worth mentioning, too, that when you look at players like him or Antonio Reeves, right? There's seven more games when you count tonight's game. Someone's got to score on this team. So you don't want to fall fully in love with these guys or think they're going to be world beaters all of a sudden, because someone's got to do it on this franchise. Otherwise, you're going to be scoring 60 points a game or so, it feels like. Those guys tend to play well during these stretches, but doesn't always translate when you're playing real minutes or against better teams and things like that. So it's worth keeping in mind there, a little bit of an asterisk with all of these guys, I think.
Looking at the standings in the Western Conference, obviously OKC has been the talk of the town for the entire season. After that, you know, there's some question marks there with between Houston, the Nuggets, and the Lakers trying to make hay, making their way up the ladder in the West. But come playoff time, which teams, other, I guess, than OKC kind of scare you that are in the mix? Is it Denver because of their experience? And maybe the Lakers, obviously, because they got LeBron and Luka?
You know, I think LeBron and Luka in the playoffs scare me. There's a proven track record from both of those guys in the postseason. And look, we always want to bet against LeBron James, saying age is going to catch up to him, and it still hasn't. So until it does, I'm really not going against him when it comes to that sort of thing. Denver, it's tough to get a read on them, right? When they blow a 60-point triple-double and can't win the game from Nikola Jokic against, you know, a not incredible Timberwolves team, that kind of concerns me, I think, long-term there. And I just don't see them really getting even to the conference finals this year. I think they're going to have a poor postseason. You know, it could be a team like Houston. It feels like they've kind of got nothing to lose. They're in the second seed right now. They're a really good defensive team. They go out and they play really hard. They're well coached. That tends to be a recipe for success, I think. So that's a team that I think could surprise a lot of people this postseason and maybe end up kind of making a run a little bit. But ultimately, it feels like it's just going to be OKC, and that's kind of written in stone at this point.
Yeah, they're the best team in basketball, and just what they've been able to accomplish in this regular season has been unbelievable. But I want to actually get your thoughts, Jake, as well, kind of building off of what you mentioned about Nikola Jokic and the 61-point triple-double. And it's crazy to say that he put up last night in a loss, by the way, unfortunately, which is unreal. But your thoughts on the MVP race with Jokic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? It feels like a two-man race at this point. I saw a stat from Basketball Forever on Twitter that had no player in NBA history has ever been in the top 10 in points per game, rebounds per game, assists per game, and steals per game in a single season, and Jokic is top three in all those categories this season. It just feels like he's having another one of those dominant seasons, and they might give it to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but I think Jokic is deserving this year.
You know, I think both of them are deserving, right? It feels like there's two MVPs and you can just pick whichever one you want. And I think there's valid arguments for both of them, and whoever ends up winning, and I'm with you, it's going to be one of those guys. I think that's very safe to say. Whoever wins, I'm fine with. And it's just, sometimes you go up, you have two guys that are really close, but you know, when you look at the records, right, while Jokic is putting up some insane personal stats, he's only able to elevate that team so much. And that's not necessarily a knock on him per se, but that does matter. And when you look at it, 63 wins versus 47 wins, that's a pretty significant number to me. And seeing just how good OKC has been and how good Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is on the defensive side of the ball too. And Jokic has gotten drastically better on defense over the past couple of years, but Shai definitely does beat him in that area. And I think that's got to kind of get taken into account as well. So when you look at the team wins and the defensive side of the ball as an individual, I think Shai's got obviously an advantage there, and that might be what tips him over the edge here.
Jake Madison, love that work you do on Locked On Pelicans podcast, and always appreciate the time. Enjoy some late night hoops this evening.
I don't know if we're going to enjoy it, but we are certainly going to watch it here. So we'll see what ends up happening. I appreciate you guys having me on.
For all things Pelicans, subscribe to the Locked On Pelicans podcast on the Odyssey app, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Also follow Jake on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at Nola Jake.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.